I mean, all marketing is content marketing, if you think about it.
Yeah.
My real problem is the word content. Anyway, we'll do it.
Yeah. It's all content now. Everybody is content now. Like, there's nobody that's not putting out content now. Not one person in the entire world.
But do they actually know why?
Yeah.
Why are you creating that content?
Yeah.
We don't want to berate the audience quite.
I mean, yet.
Well, maybe we do, actually.
Maybe we do.
Welcome to Seven Figure Small, the podcast that adds to your playbook of strategies and tactics to attract an audience and build your business, all without investors or employees. I'm your host, serial digital entrepreneur, Brian Clark. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
Jared, Trudy, how the hell are you?
Brian, doing just fine. Excited to talk to you today about so many important things in the realm of content marketing, I think is the thing. Well,
like, you don't talk to me every damn day.
I know. But listen, we have a topic today, one that actually sort of sticks in my craw, which is that, you know, I am a copy blogger certified content marketer, and that shingle has opened many doors for me, having that shingle for many years. And then I don't know why this is sort of recent for me, but hearing you say that you've never really been into the term content marketing, even though you're the literal OG, you originated at like 98 or something. So I don't know. I have a bone to pick maybe. Like, what does that even mean? What are you saying? Well,
you know, it is the accepted terminology, but I'm not the guy who coined the term. Our buddy Joe coined the term. He convinced me to use it. And I didn't think it was necessarily great, but it was the phrase that had momentum, right? And it was inevitable. And that was basically Joe's argument that what you're teaching people is called content marketing. What you've been doing for the last 7 years is content marketing. And I'm like, okay. Now, actually, I said, let me think about it. And then I got Sonia on the phone and I said, just go write a 2000 word article with content marketing in the title. We're about to rank for that.
Okay. That's very meta.
I know. Well, and then, we in Content Marketing Institute battled it out for 10 years in Google. But I guess my main problem is the word content to begin with. I mean, a lot of creative and artistic people find that offensive. And as someone who tries to put some art into my marketing, I got to agree with that. Content is something that fills up a page. And I think the people who, I mean, content, like, you know, you've mentioned this to me before, it's not even an argument anymore. Digital marketing is about content. And yet, I don't think people are really thinking about why they create content, right? It's not there just to fill up a web page. There's a purpose for it. And yet, I'm not sure that purpose is really being translated.
Yeah. You know, I think, well, that's an excellent point. Because I'm, you know, as somebody who's in the trenches and doing this day in and day out for clients, you know, now I had a client show me SEMrush. You can just click a button and buy some AI written content. And it's $100 for, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000 words or something. So content in that sort of vague term could be anything. You know, the robots are coming, blah, blah, blah. But I say, you know, I'm a marketer first. I always have been. And that's what I bring that's different. And it doesn't scare me. You know, it's like, okay, client, thanks for showing me that. But why don't you buy some of that big chunky content that you're talking about? And what's the point? It's just going to be words on the page. And it doesn't even really rank for SEO anymore because organic SEO is dead. Please argue with me. But, you know,
it's not dead. It's just harder and it's more hard. Competitive. You got to be a badass. You know, that's why we have an agency now that does our stuff for us, because, you know, I grew up, you know, with SEO, even through the copy blogger days. But number one, I have no interest in doing it anymore. And number two, it's tough. You know, yeah. you, uh, you need a little extra there. But yeah, the AI thing doesn't bother me either, because some people equate writing with the topic and the research that goes into it, all important stuff that great writers do, like yourself. But it's not the thing when it comes down to it. So I would have an AI, and I know some people whose their first draft is AI, and these are great writers, but they've turned themselves into editors more, because you still have to edit the AI, and the element, the secret sauce, is the very human understanding of the other humans, right? And AI is not there yet, and it may never quite get there, because it's great at information, but information is not the point. Raw content is not the point. It's about connection and community. And I don't mean community like we do necessarily with the Unemployable Initiative. I'm talking about the people who care about what you do, right? Your 1,000 true fans, or however you want to think about it. That's what I mean when I say community. Community can be the most engaged portion of an email list, or it could be a damn Facebook group, or it could be a circle environment like we have. But it's really a broader concept where you've got a bond with people. So I don't think the term content marketing is descriptive of what we're trying to do, but it's okay. I mean, the content marketing industry is what? How many billions of dollars a year? It is what it is, but I think it's useful to talk about what we're doing in different ways, so that people understand, okay, yes, content, maybe my content, maybe someone else's content, but that's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to connect with people and create a community of people that look forward to hearing from me and that want to do business with me. There you go. If you could do that without creating content, and you can, you know, it does sound weird to hear me say this, doesn't it?
It feels very upsetting, and I'm very, very uncomfortable
now. It's not upsetting. Come on.
It's so upsetting. I mean, it's like, I don't know, all my childhood.
But you were a marketer before, you know, you were an executive marketing position type person.
I was.
Way back. You know, so all marketing is content, because what else would it be? Right. But, you know, the big shift with content marketing, I think, and especially at the time, 2005 to 2010, you know, the internet marketing people were like, what is wrong with you that you're creating all this content? You know, why don't you run ads and just build audience like we've been doing for 100 years? And they didn't understand that window of time. There was the beginning of Web 2 was so ripe to create content that went viral, that got shared, that got links, that solidified those Google rankings, which is why it's so hard to do right now. I mean, those of us who did that back then are still reaping the benefits of it. And yet, my only point of contention is that a lot of people are teaching what they did back then like it still works, but it doesn't. We know it doesn't. It's not the same environment at all. Social media went pay to play, and it's been that way for over a decade. So it's a different environment, and it requires us to think carefully and strategically about what is it that we're actually trying to do. But I see people that create content. Why? What are you trying to do? Right.
Yeah.
That's the issue I have with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, I mean, again, like you're saying, SEO is still important, but it doesn't work how it used to. Like, it used to be sort of like more is better. More is not better. Better is better. Right. Where it really people can connect in with you. I think that's one of the things I see all the time. And it's always my first question. Who's your audience? Who are you talking to? And it's incredible how many clients I have or people who I've talked to that are sort of like, they don't know. And that's, you know, that means
they're not doing marketing. They're doing content. And there you go. Right.
That's it.
So You know, so are we going to replace the word content marketing? I mean, the phrase, no, of course not. But I do like to talk about it differently because I think it helps if you're on that content treadmill and you're not getting the results you want. Maybe the problem is that you're focused on content instead of connection and community. So the term I like is called mentor marketing, because at least it's descriptive about the role that the audience first entrepreneur is playing to get that connection and community. So, you know, we talk about influencers who often, you know, they don't have any real actual influence. They've got followers who don't necessarily, you know, I still think of that story, that poor girl who had a million followers on Instagram and then launched a product and two people bought out of the whole thing. And I'm like, See, that's not a real thing, right?
Right.
That's not
right.
Yeah. You don't have the real, you don't have a real connection, but she created lots of content. So there you have it. But yeah, there's a old quote by Zig Ziglar. You can have anything in life you want if you're willing to just get people what they want. Right. So think about if you're mentoring someone. You're basically taking someone who has aspirations to become something that you are or something similar to what you are, and you agree to take them under your wing, and you give them advice, and you occasionally send them, back in the old days, a mentor might clip something from a newspaper or whatever. Now you send them a link in an email, right?
Yeah.
That's like informed authoritative content curation when you think about it. There's plenty of content already out there. The key is whether it's someone else's content or it's your content, mm-hmm. you're guiding someone, right? That's you're guiding them on their journey from where they are at point A to where they want to be at point B. And that's literally the audience first business model. In the process, of course, you're finding out beyond just general advice or tips or helpful hints what they are willing to pay for in terms of a solution. And that's where the real power of an audience first model comes from. And that dates back to the whole lean startup thing. Oddly enough, you know, audience wasn't part. This is amazing to me because the lean startup methodology basically says you got to figure out what someone will pay for, which is a very direct marketing thing.
Right.
There's no such thing as product validation until someone whips out a credit card or signs on the dotted line, right? They actually buy. And so the idea of the minimum viable product is to find out what people will buy as quickly and as cheaply as you can. What amazes me is that even though Eric Ries, who wrote The Lean Startup, followed an audience-first model when launching his book, The Lean Startup, mm-hmm. he doesn't advocate for it. It's interesting.
That is really interesting.
Yeah,
he started a blog before.
Yeah, he signed up for, you know, he did a blog well before the book was done, which is basically the playbook right now. And has been, you know, Seth Godin, I think, was the first guy who blogged a book. And basically, that's where it ended up coming out from.
Right.
So I just say, look, the lean methodology begs for audience first, because that's where you get your feedback to develop the first product that is likely to be more successful in the first place. They're more right. likely to buy it. Not only because you took their feedback, you felt their pain, you figured out what they need, but they like you.
Right. Right? You
know, the lean startup thing is like sending cold Google traffic to a product to see if people will buy it.
Right.
Well, I'd rather have a warm or even, you know, highly friendly audience first, because not only will I have a better feel for them, but then, you know, there's a bond there. And that's right. the key. That's the connection. That's the community. So I don't know. I like the idea of mentor marketing. It ties into you know, how we teach that the buying journey is like the hero's journey. You know, you're Obi-Wan Kenobi, they're Luke Skywalker. Treat them like the hero, but they're not ready to be the full hero yet without you, right? Right. In that sense, you become a hero as well. Unlike traditional marketing, which is like, it's us. We're great all the time. Yay.
Yeah. 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 And you, I mean, you still get that. Let's make no, and some of that is that
influence. You get it indirectly yeah. by not putting yourself in the hero position, you become one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always want to be Luke Skywalker. Well, I actually, I always want to be Princess Leia, but I don't know if that really fits the metaphor. So sorry.
Well, she's kind of badass, especially. Did you watch the Obi-Wan Kenobi series where they had little Princess Leia and she's just a little badass?
Yes.
So cool.
Yep. Well, we knew that.
She's like 9 years old or something. It's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, so this is where the whole idea of the minimum viable audience came from. It obvious nod to lean startup methodology, but before you can, in my mind, at least in my experience over the last, especially the last 16 years or so, before you can get a minimum viable product idea, you need enough of an audience that is actively engaging with you, right? And that's the minimum viable audience idea, which is, it doesn't have to be a huge amount of people. And it's not even the overall number of people. It's how many on your email list are giving you signals. You know, right. Nowadays, you know, we used to have blog comments back in the days at Copyblogger. And man, I learned so much from just reading what people said in response to a post, because they're not telling you what they want to buy. They're telling you what their problem is,
right?
What their pain is. And that's the key. And then, so now, you know, it's a different environment. Social media is weird.
Yeah. It's trickier.
So sure. I just, you know, I tell people to hit reply and talk to me.
Yeah.
Now it's even better. We asked people what they thought about Seven Figure Small and if they still like that brand. And I wasn't just trying to get validated. I wanted to see what people said, and people just, some of them just went off paragraph after paragraph. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It just, you know, makes me feel good that people would take the time to actually talk to me like that. You know, everyone's busy. Everyone's trying to get by this thing. But
yeah. But you know, it's also like, you're taking the time to ask, you know, talk about mentor marketing. Like, that's something we all have to remember. Ask the question, you know, be yourself, be real. You know, Brian Clark asking, you know, your opinion, not to put you on a pedestal, I just so did. Your opinion about, you know, some branding, some, you know, positioning we have. It's like, wait, what? Okay, let me tell you what I really think. And maybe lots of it's nice, but I'm thinking maybe some people said, yeah, it's trash, dude. I hope.
No one said it was trash, but a couple of people did, you know, they were welcome to push back. I wanted that too.
Yeah.
It just turned out that there were very few of those. And that's okay. And I guess if 50% of people said, no, I hate it, but that odds were, it wasn't going to happen because it was the audience who picked the brand in the first place. Right.
There you go.
So yeah, we had feedback in the first place when we adopted the name. I didn't just look out the window and dream that up. It was from work that we had done, content that we had put out, even though it was a podcast interview, which in itself is a form of curation. When you think about it, you're curating other people's expertise.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's important. You know, we're not going to change the terminology. Content marketing is a thing, but I also want the unemployable audience to realize that your goal is not to create content. You create content to reach your goals, if it's necessary. And it might not be in all cases. So we'll talk about that more in future episodes.
Sweet.
Jared, you haven't said a damn word. What are you doing?
Where have you been?
Now? Man.
Okay, the ghost of Jared passed. The hell?
People are listening to this on audio, so you can't see that we're recording it with video. I never realized how marginalized you can feel in a conversation when your video is not up there. It's funny because you two, you keep looking at each other's screens because my video is not working. So I could never like give a verbal cue that I wanted to pop in, and I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the conversation. So
I should have invited you earlier, Jared. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. But it's funny how nothing has changed. I would be sitting here in front, you know, just staring at my computer anyway, but I didn't quite feel comfortable popping in because my video is not there. It's interesting how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did we do podcasts before Zoom?
I don't know.
I mean, back to loving Zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay.
Can we add a part where you talk, Jared? We should add you in saying something.
That's okay. You guys covered all the big stuff.
You know, we're still going here.
Yeah, we are.
Of course we are.
Everyone's still here listening to this.
Hey, okay, so one thing that I was thinking about, Brian, as you were talking, and one way that I've kind of started to think about content marketing and reframed it in my own mind, curious to see if you agree with this or disagree with this. I try to think of it more as experience marketing, meaning, yes, you want to create content, but content to do what? And I was trying to think, what experience do I want people to have? And that just reframing it that way in my own mind just helps me, I think, do what you just said, which is create content that leads to an end goal. Because if you think about it in terms of an experience, you have to plan it out more than just, well, let me just slap a blog post out, you know, fill a quota that I feel like I have. It's more, what experience do I want people to have while they consume this? That helps me.
That's interesting because there's two ways to think about that word, because we are actually in expertise business. Right. You know, if you're going to mentor someone, you have to have some expertise, even if it's two steps ahead of where they're at. Right. So I was thinking about experience that way. But you're right. You're also creating an experience at the same time. That's nice. I like it.
Well, there's so much content out there now to separate yourself. It feels like it's got to be more than just here's some audio, here's some words on a screen. And, you know, especially because we've talked a lot about this next version of the web where the metaphor is less a page and more spaces. Mm-hmm. But when you get into that, it's going to be more about experiences. So,
yes, I'm looking forward to that part where we're still in the middle of all of this shakeout. But I honestly think this Web3 fallout is the best thing that could have happened because everyone is head down. No more pie in the sky, you know, build the tools that actually allow decentralization, which to me is still the important thing, which means we all own our places. We all own our data. We own our, you know, relationships, and we don't answer to Mark Zuckerberg ever again. And I'm going to mic drop that right there.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Boom. I need to get a mic drop sound effect. So
I like the boom. Man. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Peace out. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. See, imagine peace. I got Brian.
I must have been unconsciously influenced by your John Lennon idealism.
Okay. It's Yoko Ono. And she's a freak.
You know Yoko stole that from John. Come on.
I know.
And she broke up the Beatles.
Come on. Oh my God.
No, I don't.
I'm wearing a Clash t-shirt, so let's get my affinity straight here.